Week. Happy Sabbath. Okay, happy Sabbath. Do you know what I will tell you the story today? No? Okay. So I will tell you. You know what happened 2 months ago in Orlando, Florida? It was televised on CNN. There's a little boy about 9 years old. Is there anybody is 9 years old here? 9 years old? Okay, like the size of Maddox here. And very interesting that this boy fired a bottle to a crocodile. Have you seen a crocodile yet? Or alligator? Oh. Okay. Have you seen alligator? Oh, you saw alligator already? Okay. In our country, we have a lot of alligator there. And some people there, they, even in Florida, they use alligator for alligator shoes. So the skin of alligators are nice to have a jacket or either shoes or belt. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this young boy that have a battle. His name is Jimmy. He has battled with this alligator. Okay, one day, the name of the boy is Jimmy. And Jimmy asked the mother, said, "Mom, can I go to the pond?" And said, "Okay, go." But the mother is washing dishes, according to the CNN, and she saw her son going to the pond, and he wants to swim. So while he was swimming, and this alligator is right there in the middle, it just popped up. And the mother saw this alligator, and then she saw it. She was at the window, but the window, it has a glass window. Could not hear, Jimmy could not hear his mom. So she went out and go back, and she ran away as much as possible, the mother did. So when she was there, she's screaming, "Jimmy, come back! Jimmy, come back!" But Jimmy is trying to swim, and he was enjoying himself. That alligator was in that water. And then suddenly it disappeared, the alligator, and the alligator is trying to sneak and trying to get Jimmy. But the mother keeps screaming and screaming. He said, "Jimmy, come back! Come back!" And what happened? Jimmy tried to come back and hear the mother. So he swam as much as possible. He said, "There is an alligator there, hurry up!" But by the time when they get to the point where the shore of the pond, and the alligator cuts the hand or the arm of Jimmy. And the mother keeps screaming, and the mother is trying to fight the alligator, and the alligator keeps turning and turning and turning. And so of course, Jimmy is also turning together with the alligator. And then the mother is screaming, and the neighbor just heard the screaming of the mother. And the man came out and get his shotgun and shot the alligator. And then, to make the story short, the newscasters and all the people came over there and asked the young boy. He said, "How did you fight the alligator?" "I tried to fight him with my other arm. And you know, those big teeth of the alligator. You see the alligator there? Has a lot of big teeth. So it's stuck on the arm and his leg. But how did you get out from that?" Then the boy explained it to the newscaster. Our neighbor shot that alligator. And then while they were in the hospital, the boy is asking, "Are you not," the newscaster said, "are you not afraid?" "I was afraid. Yes, I was afraid." But the boy said, "Why you keep asking the alligator? Don't you know that my mother also helping me about the alligator is trying to remove the teeth of the alligator in my arm? Don't you find out, did you not realize I have a lot of bites in my arm? Don't you ask me why I have a bite on the arm. This is the reason why mom opened the mouth of the alligator and tried to release my arm. So that is my important things. She said that my mother removed the mouth or the teeth of this alligator from my arm. So what happened is this. Why is it important? The newscaster asking. Well, the mom, if she is not shouting and remove the mouth of the alligator, I will be dead meat now. You know the reason, the cause of that teeth is because that is the mark that will never remove from my body. But it says that I am saved because of my mother. Now, yes, their neighbor shot the alligator, but without my mother, maybe I'm already dead and drowned in this water. So I want you to put emphasize that my mother is the hero. If not, you know, the same thing with Christ, you know. When he died on the cross, he has a mark on his hand, and his body has a pierce of that pierce, and that is mark that is never removed. When Christ comes, and when he comes, and we will see him, those marks will be shown to us by Jesus Christ. So the mark of the teeth of the alligator is the same thing that my mother saved. So every one of us here today, big and small, God save us with his mark in his hand and his body to save us. So thank you for your listening, and I hope you like that. The alligator is a Lucifer, or is a devil. He's trying to attack us and kill us. So the alligator is the devil, and according to the story, that now we have a hero that will maintain our focus on Jesus. Okay? I asked Sean here to pray for us. So come here, Sean, to pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come here to church to worship you. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us so that we can be saved from the devil, and that we can go to heaven with you, because you want us to be happy, and you want us to be you want the best for us. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, children. Go back to your seat.
If you have any blue cards, you may bring them up as we have our morning prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, We want to thank you for another Sabbath day. We know, Lord, as we go through the week, that many times we think only of you on Sabbath. And Lord, help us each day to remember that you are by our sides, that you send the angels, that you are thinking of us and helping us, whether we realize it or not. This morning, we thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us during this past week. We thank you for especially that you sent your Son to die on the cross, that we could have forgiveness of our sins. Help each one of us to be drawn closer to you. This morning, I think especially of the meetings that are coming up. Lord, we're not sure who all to ask. Please impress us that we may know exactly who we can invite, that they may come and join us as fellow believers. This morning, too, we think of the people that are on our blue cards or our other silent requests. You know each one of them, Lord, and how best to answer our prayers. We know that you know far better than we do. We ask, too, that as we go through this church service, maybe each one have a blessing that we can use during this week to reach out to others. We thank you and we praise your name. Amen.
Our offering today is for world budget, but specifically we're talking today about Voice of Prophecy. It has radio and TV broadcasts for English and Spanish speaking people. This reaches millions of people each year with the gospel. How this is being accomplished is changing in exciting ways. For instance, Sean Brewster's new Bible-based weekly program, Disclosure, is tackling current issues in a way that sparks curiosity and conversation. Also, increasing emphasis on programming is readily available in personal electronic devices. The recent four-part series, Shadow Empire, event about the life of Constantine, was a part of Voice of Prophecy Local. This initiative provides churches with programming, tools, training, and resources to help reach friends and neighbors with the gospel. Also, the Voice of Prophecy has the largest Bible correspondence school in the denomination. Discover Bible School has affiliate schools across North America in more than 120 countries and offers languages, 80 different languages and dialects. Other exciting ministry projects include a special church building project in Antarctica, as well as a rehabilitation home in India where young girls are rescued from human trafficking and are given new life and hope in Jesus. Your offering today will support the ministries of Voice of Prophecy. Thanks to your support, millions of people will be introduced to a loving Savior and lives will be transformed. The deacons come forward for the offering. Father, we thank thee for an opportunity this morning to give our tithes and offerings, especially at the offering today as it goes to help world missions around the world, and especially for the Voice of Prophecy. We ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Shine by day.
from Luke 10, 18 to 20. Luke 10, 18 to 20. And as I read this, I thought, I didn't quite remember this was in Luke. Kind of reminded me of what I would hear from Revelation.
Why don't you include the 17th verse as well?
Okay, that kind of helps put it all in perspective, doesn't it? Okay, so we'll start with verse 17, Luke 10, 17 to 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What a promise. Thank you.
It's good to see you. My mic is on. Now you can hear me. Thank you. It's good to see every single one of you here this morning. I look across the room and I see some of you are visiting and some of you have come every Sabbath, and I'm just thrilled that you are here. Good to see you back. I was talking to Nancy and his son. I'm glad you both are here. And so, you notice we have a couple of signs here. These are the two seminars that are coming up in a few weeks. And we want to invite each and every one of you to take a good look at the card you have in your bulletin. There are many more of them back there on the center camera stand area. Lots of cards that you can share with people around you. And they can go to the website, both for this seminar as well as for a Pale Horse Ride. There are websites set up for these two seminars. One starts on October 27, Pale Horse Ride. The other one starts the following weekend, Friday, November the 3rd. And so we hope that you will register for it yourself and bring someone along. You know, I shouldn't really be here today because yesterday afternoon, I ran into something in my toe. I looked at my toe and I thought I had royal blood because the toe was blue. And I could barely, I couldn't walk. In fact, I had to lie down and put ice on it and so forth. And I got so distracted, I forgot some important things even yesterday afternoon because of that one little toe. Just realize how important one little member is. It's just so important. It can distract the whole body if you don't have members involved in service. I'm just glad to see you all here, and I hope that you are engaged during the week. Because, as I've said before, I don't want you to be... Oops. I may need help here. Make sure that we have Lori back up. See, that's what members can do, be a blessing to each other. All right. Help Lori to her seat, and then maybe someone can sit with her. Over the past 5 weeks, we have seen the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, we've seen those words come alive, haven't we? And it says there in Luke 10, verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest, and he will send out laborers into his vineyard. Now, we have seen that the harvest truly is great. A radical perspective. A few weeks ago, we had a sermon about that. A life-changing perspective. The harvest truly is great. Even if we can't see it with our eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we can. God has people out there that are ready to receive Him. They just need someone to come into their presence, to share with them, to talk with them, to rub shoulders with them, to be their friends. We've also learned of a huge problem, that there aren't enough laboring laborers. And that is a huge problem. That is a radical problem. And we have heard the appeal of Jesus. While I was gone for 2 weeks, this was shared with you, an appeal of Jesus. From this very verse, appeal to radical prayer. We've learned that we will face radical challenges. And that we need to be radically dependent. We need to be totally dependent on the Lord of the harvest. And today, in the last message in this series, we're going to talk about joy. Radical joy that comes from being involved in that service for God, Christ. Can you imagine how the disciples felt when they returned from their missionary tour? They had been sent out. They came back. How did they feel after being involved for Jesus, after being laboring in his harvest field? They had given the Lord of the harvest permission to throw them out into the harvest. And even though they felt like lambs among wolves, by spending time with Jesus, they had learned to totally depend on the Lord of the harvest. And they had realized that Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who will provide. Now, in his name, the sick had been healed. Those in bondage had been set free. They had boldly proclaimed the good news about Jesus everywhere. Now, in chapter 10, verse 17, it was just read for us, Luke says that the 70 returned how? Joyfully. They returned with joy, it says. Holy joy. Radical joy. And that's the experience that we will have when we give the Lord of the harvest permission to take us from our comfort zone and throw us into the harvest. An amazing sense of joy will come from that. From the experiences you will have from that. Now, we'll tell you a story about a girl named Rachel. Rachel experienced this kind of joy as she gave the Lord permission to throw her into his harvest. Immediately after college, Rachel ended up in Costa Rica. She was serving there as a volunteer teacher in a small Adventist school. Now, before she even left for Costa Rica, she had to face some very difficult challenges. The friend who was supposed to go with her there to help, to serve with her, he had a family crisis and he couldn't go. And so Rachel wondered whether she should just stay home as well. But then she sensed that the Lord of the harvest spoke to her and said, "Go, trust in me." And she obeyed the Lord of the harvest, allowing him to throw her out into his harvest field. When she arrived in Costa Rica, everything went just well. No, not really. She faced more challenges. At the airport, no one came to meet her. Well, the problem was that she hadn't really paid attention to where she was going because she thought somebody would meet her there. And she didn't know the address of her final destination. She had no contact phone numbers for the school, so she had to make a decision. Instead of becoming hysterical, she decided to continue to be dependent on the Lord of the harvest. Well, finally, Rachel connected with a young man who happened to know about that school, and he brought her to the school, to the mission school. When she arrived at the school, she faced more challenges. No one seemed to be in charge there. There was no director to talk to. And there was no real program in place for volunteers. And so someone sat down with her, and with the help of a translator, this someone said, "We don't have an English program at all here at this school, but we wanted you to develop one from scratch." Well, now she was completely overwhelmed, because she had gotten the impression that there was a complete English program in place, and so she had not brought with her any resources. She had 1 week to plan an entire English language program, and she didn't even know where to begin. Now, in spite of many of these kinds of problems and challenges, the Lord of the harvest provided for Rachel. He is Jehovah Jireh. And after several months of struggling, Rachel finally connected with another teacher, a wonderful Christian lady named Lindy, who lived in a town not too far away. And Lindy had served as a teacher since she was 14 years old. And she stepped in and she helped Rachel design a curriculum for her school. And it was obvious to Rachel that her students were actually beginning to enjoy their lessons, because she had a plan in place. And when Rachel came home for a break halfway through her mission assignment, she gathered extra teaching supplies that she could take back with her to the school. Now, the English program at that mission school was flourishing, but she was determined that she was going to make it even better. So she brought this extra stuff with her. However, when she returned to Costa Rica after her break, she discovered that the workers at that school had burned many of the books that she had been using. Now, they weren't trying to be malicious. They just didn't think she needed them. And that's when Rachel decided that the school needed a designated space just for the English language program. And there was an unfinished building on campus that had been started by a high school mission team that had come by some time before and had never been finished. And Rachel was determined to see that that building would be finished so that the English language program could have a home of its own. And so she wrote to her family, and they, along with members from her local church, assured her that they would raise the funds needed to finish that building, that classroom, as an English language lab. But before any funds had arrived, Rachel decided she was going to move forward in complete dependence on God. So she found a local builder who put his other projects on hold, and he began to complete the project for her. And she paid the builder with her own money, funds that she had in her own bank account. And these were funds that were supposed to last her for the whole year that she had earned during the summer, but she spent it this way. And by the time her bank account had been emptied, the promised funds still had not arrived. So she felt a tightness in her chest, and she had no money now, no resources. And all that she could do was to be completely dependent on the Lord of the harvest. Now, before Rachel left Costa Rica, she was able to see that classroom completed. It was not only well built, it was beautiful. And one whole wall was covered with shelves that stored the curriculum for the new English program, along with all the books and supplies that were needed. And there was even a lock on the door so that no one could come in and burn all the books. She had a sense of joy. Through all the hardships, through all the challenges, through all the difficulties, she had this incredible sense of joy that she was learning to become more and more dependent on the Lord of the harvest. And he gave her this joy and this peace that can only come that way. You know, there are so many stories like Rachel's. This is just one story out of many where people learn to depend on God and where they learn to experience a radical joy. Now, Luke tells us in Luke 10, verse 17 of this gospel, of his gospel, that the 70 that Jesus had sent out, they returned with joy. They returned with joy. And in verse 21 of the same chapter, it says that Jesus when he heard their report, he rejoiced in the Lord. Now the Greek word is engaliasato, which literally means an extreme sense of joy. That's what Jesus felt. It's a word that they would use when people were leaping for joy. He was so filled with joy that he could have been jumping up and down. That's really what Luke says there. But he reminded his followers, and he also reminds us, that the source of our joy is not just that we see him work around us, that he works through us in remarkable ways. That's not the source of our joy. When we give the Lord permission to throw us into harvest, it is not just the experience in the harvest that gives a source of joy, but the source of our joy is a personal relationship with Jesus as our Savior and Lord. I want you to listen to the words that were read earlier from verses 18 through 90, Luke 10, 18 through 90, where it says, "He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What is Jesus really saying here? Is it wrong to rejoice when we see the Lord of the harvest working through us in wonderful ways? No, of course not. Nothing wrong about that. Jesus is using hyperbole here. It's an exaggeration for effect. You find several of those in Scripture that made to make a point. Jesus is actually saying that he's saying your greatest joy is found in me. And your relationship with me, that's what brings you joy. And because you are in a relationship with me as your personal Savior and Lord, your name is written in heaven. And because of that, you will go out into my harvest. You will be involved in the harvest because you know me and you want others to know me. It's that personal experience that gives power to our testimony. We're not speaking in second-hand language. We have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. And now we're giving the Lord of the harvest permission to throw us into the harvest so that we can share the good news with others. Now, Jesus wants your hands to be an extension of his hands. As you go out and share the good news that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As you allow the Lord to throw you into his harvest, to share that message with people around you, Jesus will do amazing miracles through you. And those miracles never happen in the easy chair in front of the television set. They happen in the trenches. They happen in the front of the battle. They happen in ministry for Christ. I want you to listen to this quote from the book The Desire Ages, page 823. It says, it refers to the very occasion of Christ's message here in Luke 10. When the disciples returned to Jesus with joy, it says, "Jesus was in himself health and strength. He imparted his life to the sick, the afflicted, those possessed of demons. He turned away none who came to receive his healing power. He knew that those who petitioned him for help had brought disease upon themselves. Yet he did not refuse to heal them. And when virtue from Christ entered into these poor souls, they were convicted of sin, and many were healed of their spiritual disease as well as of their physical maladies. The gospel still possesses the same power. And why should we not today witness the same results?" Why should we not witness the same results? Now, you may be a medical worker, You might be a teacher, or you might be a full-time parent. Consecrate yourself wholly to Jesus Christ today. And take to heart the wonderful truth that Jesus wants to continue his miraculous ministry through you. You might be an engineer. You might be a construction worker. You might be a factory worker or a secretary or a business person. Whatever your profession, whatever your occupation, whether you're young or old, whether you are highly educated or not yet finished with elementary school, Jesus wants to throw you into his harvest to continue his ministry through you. He wants your hands to be an extension of his hands. He wants his life to flow, his power to flow through you to bring a blessing and healing to the lives of those around you. And not to bring attention to you, not to bring glory to you, but to bring attention to Jesus, to help people discover that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He has come that people may have life, and that they may have life abundantly. Are you willing to let Jesus continue his ministry through you? Are you willing to let him throw you into his harvest? It sounds a little intimidating, doesn't it? To throw you into his harvest. And yet, everything is provided for you. It's just to walk in it. To walk in the works he has prepared for us. So, will you go out and share the goodness about Jesus in your way? Whatever is the best way for you to do it. If you do that, you will be rejoicing that Jesus will be blessing and healing people around you through you. But most of all, you will rejoice because of the closeness you will feel to the Lord, because you are involved in his work. You know, the gospel still possesses the same power today. And then why should we not today witness the same results as Jesus and the disciples witnessed? So who of you is willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to let you throw me into your harvest and experience the joy of seeing you dispel the darkness in people's lives? I know, Lord, that you will give me the words to speak. You will be with me even in the midst of any dangers, even in the midst of any challenges. And you will continue your ministry through me. That's a prayer of faith that will bring beautiful results in your life and in the lives of others. And that's my heart's desire today. What about you? This morning, after spending a little time going through my message, I checked my email. I was prayerfully considering how should I bring my message to an end this morning. And I checked my email after being pressed to do so. And wouldn't you know it, there was an email from Don McIntosh, a previous pastor of this church and my brother-in-law. And he sent me a video about Weimar Institute's total community involvement project. And it fits perfectly in with this message. And I'm going to show it to you right now, because I think God gave it to me for just this. I want you to see just another example of what happens when you allow the Lord of the harvest to throw you into the harvest field. I also want you to see that this is not as intimidating as it may sound. And then after the video, I'm just going to share a few more thoughts with you. So let us watch the video at this time. By the way, they were not all as skinny as it looks there. Somehow the video had been compressed to the wrong, anyway. So they looked so skinny that they almost looked unhealthy. But they did good work. So, radical joy. When I was a pastor in Illinois, we did something similar. We called it Burden Bearers. T-shirts and all. And we built a wheelchair ramp for someone who just had lost his legs. We fixed up a house that had fallen into disrepair, helping out a poor family that didn't know where to turn for assistance. And the Three Angel Church is also involved with community projects in various ways. In fact, this afternoon, Larry Karambizi and Vanya Martin are taking volunteers to help the homeless, right? And in our city. And where? When will they meet?
St. Francis.
Okay.
Douglas
and St. Francis. And so they will be involved with the homeless people there this afternoon. And we appreciate that. Okay, I can't hear everything, but it will be a one-on-one St. Francis on St. Francis and Douglas. So I'll keep that in mind. But yeah, I appreciate that. So that's a ministry that we are involved with as a church, and thankfully because someone has a heart for it. And we have God's Closet, led by Veronica Jenkins. We have, and many others are involved with that as well. And then we have Check Wellness, led by Dr. Bryant. And the Lord of the Harvest impressed Minnie Brown to start a food pantry. And it officially opens later this year, but already food is coming in, because God placed it upon her heart to start that, to throw her into his harvest field that way. There are other ministries, and there is room for more. There's, you know, all kinds of caring and sharing ministries that will bring Jesus to others. And you can join in one of these ministries, or you can start your own, or you can have your own personal engagement with people. There is something you can do right now. You can take invitation cards for these two seminars and bring to people, pray for people, bring them these cards, invite them to come to these meetings and be there so that when they come there, they don't just come to the meetings, but you are actually there. You that invited them to Pale Horse Rides or Living with Hope. And, you know, there is great need for laborers in God's harvest. Will you be one of them? Will you experience that joy that God has for those that are involved in ministry for him? I want to invite you to be part of that. And may God bless each one of you as you take that step. Now again, since I mentioned it, we have a number of cards back there on your way out. If you know, there are cards for Living with Joy, Living with Hope, that you can take. There are also some cards left for Pale Horse Rides. And share them. We have thousands of cards. You need to register for this particular seminar, preferably that one as well. But you need to register online. So there is a website on each one of these cards. On the two different seminars, there's a separate website for each. And you can actually register right there online. Or you can even call in. There's a phone number for each of them. So you can call in if you don't have a computer. But again, this is about being thrown into his harvest. And it doesn't have to be something very difficult. It's just God can use you where you are. With the experience you have, you can lead others to him. And may God bless you. Let's sing our closing song. And that is number 369. Number 369, our closing song. Bringing in the Sheaves, an old song that is talking about the harvest and the joy that comes from being part of it.